Hello and welcome to Really Cool People, a podcast produced by Switzer Church. I'm your host, Jason Leininger. This is a place to hear stories of really cool people. The hope is that as we hear these stories, the story of their lives together, you and I will be inspired, encouraged, and challenged through moments of serendipity. In a sermon entitled The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis says, "There are no ordinary people. You and I have never talked to a mere mortal." It's my joy over the next few moments to introduce you to someone who you may walk past on the street, and to themselves especially, they may seem like they're just an ordinary person, and yet they're really fantastic. So today, we're going to meet Scott Warren. I've had the privilege of working with Scott for several years as he led the Jobs for Life program at Switzer Church. I got to know him in some really cool ways, and he is a fantastic guy. He's going to share his heart, his big heart for God, what God's doing in his life and the way God has led him. And he's going to share what that journey's been like, the ups and downs of life. So let's welcome Scott Warren. Today, it's a great joy, honor, and privilege to welcome Scott Warren to the Really Cool People podcast. So Scott, let's start with your story.
Good afternoon, Jason. As you asked me about my story, a turning point happened to me as a child, but I didn't know it was a turning point until this year, and I'll get to that later. And when I was a child, I have no idea why, but there was a draw in me towards Jesus. Not towards church, towards Jesus. Didn't recognize what it was then until as I got much older. Grew up in a little old town in northeast Oklahoma, Avon, Oklahoma. Total population of 500 people. Had the little Methodist church, the little Baptist church, and the little Pentecostal church, or otherwise known as the Holy Rollers. And I was not raised in a Christian church-going home. We went every once in a while, maybe once every 2 or 3 years, but for some reason, I went, starting at about the age of 9 or 10, I started going to church myself. Looking back on it, I don't know why. It might have been the little comic book things that were given to me on Sunday morning at the Methodist church, because that's predominantly where I went. The stories of the Bible and everything, and I started reading those, liked them. Anyway, just kept going and kept going to church and kept going to church. And one evening, and I was right around the age of 13, I was walking home from a revival, meaning that a traveling evangelist came to town. And please do not take this wrong the way I'm going to say it, because I don't mean it maybe the way it's going to sound. I'd been going to all three different churches, and predominantly the Methodist church, and the only reason I say that was because just, that was kind of my home base. I was walking home from the revival meeting that night. The traveling evangelist was an artist, and he would draw a painting every night while he was talking to the congregation. At the end of the night, he would just pick somebody in the audience and give the picture to. As I'm walking home, I was thinking about the service, and I was thinking about the picture, and I thought, I wonder how many people are here to hear him and how many people are here just to get the free picture. And then I remember I stopped and I thought, where'd that thought come from? And then I stopped, and I can take you back to the very spot, because I've taken Susan there, in the road on walking home that night, that I said, you know, God, and I really didn't have a relationship with God. I knew about him from going to church, but I didn't really know him. And I said, you know, God, I read these stories. I've tried to read the Bible, but it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, because pretty much the only Bibles we had were the King James Versions, and Well, we know we're, for a little kid, that's kind of hard to understand, or a pre-teenager, whatever. Anyway, I said, you know, God, I see and I hear these stories and I read these stories of guys back in the Bible days and hear what your teachings are. And what I see in your word, in the Bible, didn't call it the word then because I wasn't familiar with that terminology. I said, what I'm seeing in the Bible and what I'm seeing in the lives of people who are Christians, and this was not malicious. This truly was no maliciousness at all. It was just talking to God. I said, God, it just doesn't seem to, they don't seem to add up. The teachings that I hear about and how I see people living doesn't seem to add up. So I'm a little confused. God, and here's the turning point. I said, God, if you're really real, would you show yourself to me? Would you just show me who you are? And then I started walking off. And I've looked back on that time many times, and that was 50 years ago this year. And I look back and I see how God honored the simplicity of that little boy's prayer. And for 50 years, I can say I've been walking and God has been showing me himself. And it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You know, I went ahead and I lived the rest of my life. I just had a normal upbringing. I had a normal life, if you want to say that. My first wife, we had four kids. You know, we lived the normal life. But all this time, I was just seeking God and just always saying, God, who are you? Continue to show me yourself. And then I had to remember the date. In 2015, I had some things happen to me that radically changed my life. And that is that my first wife passed away after 5 years of cancer. And that was in April. In July of that year, my father passed away because of cancer. And then in October of that same year, I lost two grandkids. And that was basically the first time I had ever encountered death in my life. And I encountered it three different times in the span of 8 months. And that was a rough year. However, there's a phrase that I use a lot, and I learned it that year, and it's, but God. I learned that year that was a rough, rough year, but God was there the whole time. A lot of things happened during that year. Thank God for the church I was going to, Hope Church down the road, the pastor there and the men's group there, and Jesus himself is what got me through that time. And at the end of that time, that period, when I came out of the grieving stage, I can honestly look you in the eye and say, I don't know about God. I know God. I know him personally. I know his kindness, his goodness, his strength, his mercy, his grace, his compassion. I know him. And 18 months later, one day at church, I was out in the foyer at a table promoting Jobs for Life. And this lady walked up to my table, and with five words, my life changed. Hi, my name is Susan. That was the moment of the beginning of restoration for me, of everything that I had lost. And not only my family members had passed away, but I'd had a lot of financial things. As you know, I've had a lot of foot troubles. I've been designated as being disabled, so I lost a career of 30 years. Just a lot of loss in like a five-year period leading up to this. But with the words, hello, my name is Susan, the restoration process began. And I don't really even know why I'm sharing all this. It's just what's coming to my mind, and I'm just sharing. And it has been absolutely amazing in the last 7 years that I can look back and I can see. I want to take that back and just say in the last 50 years, I can look back and see the hand of God on my life, leading me, guiding me, directing me. Even when I didn't see him, when I didn't really know him or wasn't walking with him, he was constantly leading me and directing me. And everything in my life was bringing me to this point right now. And later on today, whatever I'm doing, I'll say everything in my life is bringing me to this point. A lot of people ask me, you know, what is the best time of your life? What's the best season of your life? When were you the happiest? When was the best thing in your life? I've come to say this moment right now. Because I can't change the past. I have no idea if there'll be a tomorrow. But this moment right now, I'm walking with Jesus. And I couldn't be happier. The reason I said that the beginning of my story there, that incident on the road, is because of this. Many people you talk to, born-again Christians, they'll give you the date. Sometimes they can even give you the time of when they became born again. I've never had that. I've contemplated that over the years and said, God, am I really born again? Because I don't remember ever, quote unquote, saying the sinner's prayer or anything like that. I just know that I've just been walking with you for longer than I can remember. And this year, in March of this year, sitting on my back patio where I like to go to sit with Jesus. In fact, I was thinking about that today. My back patio, that's my place with Jesus. I talk to him all through the day, pray for people, myself, my family, just all through the day. But when I walk out on that back patio and I sit down at that table, Jesus is there. He's there waiting for me to come and be with him. I told myself I wouldn't cry today, but here I am. That morning, I was sitting out there just talking with the Lord. And out of the blue, just out of the blue, I didn't ask him this question, but out of the blue, he's like, hey, remember that time when you were 13 and you stopped on the side of the road and you asked me to show myself to you, that if I was real, that's the day you got born again. That's the day that you and I started a walk. Said, you know, you don't have to say a certain word, Scott. You just have to invite me into your life. And you invited me into your life that evening on the side of that road, just asking me, if I was real, would I show myself to you? It's been a heck of a ride, Jason. I cannot sit here and say, you know, my walk with the Lord has been all rainbows and giggly grins. It's been hard times. It's been good times. It's been mountains. It's been valleys. It's been deserts. It's been lush forests. It's been everything you can imagine. But what I can say, it's been good. And I wouldn't trade it for any other lifestyle. Like I said, I don't know about Jesus. I know him. And he knows me. And we have a relationship that is just phenomenal. And that patio that I was talking about yesterday had a rough couple of weeks. I'm just going to be honest with you. And frustrated about a lot of things. Seeing myself, a lot of things that I'm just, you know, haven't quite attained. Following God's word. And I sat down out there yesterday to just kind of complain about myself to God. Tell him how sorry I was and how I want to do better. And I sat down and I said, "Hi, Jesus." And boom. The first thing that comes to my mind is simplicity. The simplicity of a life walking with Jesus. What I heard him say was, "Scott, you don't have to be anything. You don't have to do anything. You just got to walk with me. Listen to what I say. Do what I ask you. Follow me and rest. Just rest in the knowledge that I love you and I know you and you know me. And all this stuff that you're working through, we'll work it together."
Scott, I've recently been reading Henry Nouwen's book called The Sabbatical Journey, the last book he wrote. He actually would finish it on August 31st of 1996, I think. And about 3 weeks later, he would die, actually, of a heart attack. And one of the pieces I just recently read, he talks about visiting and staying with a person in Southern California. And he says of her, she allowed no measly conversation in her midst. Everything from the get-go was deep, and you have taken us to the deep instantly. Instantly, we're there. It's like, hey, what's my story? Bam, let's talk about the depths of Jesus. All right, we're there. That is you. We've spent a lot of time together over the years.
Yes, we have.
And it is a joy to see you sharing the fullness of your heart and the depth of your heart and the just the seriousness of your heart. I know you've got a bunch of other stuff that we can arm wrestle or thumb wrestle over. So we'll maybe come back to that near the end, you know, lighten this thing up at the end. But let's stay in the deep for a little bit if we can. You mentioned a number of significant things about your life. That turning point and that evangelist and that conversation there on the road. Do you remember what that spot looks like on the road? What's it smell like? What's it, what's the aroma of that place?
I do. It's a little town, small little town, so the roads were not real nice roads like in Springfield, Missouri, with markings and all that. It was just a blacktop road. and no markings. And I was standing on the right-hand side of the road. It was dark. And there was kind of a dampness in the air, but not a rainy day. Just, if I remember right, it was maybe in fall, and maybe that was the dampness that I remember. I do remember some dampness. And I remember it being very, very still. Wow. I had never put that together. It was very still, just like it's very still on my back patio when I know I'm sitting talking with Jesus. The stillness of his presence cannot be described. And I never put that together until just this moment, because I always remember how still that moment was. There was no traffic, there was no people, there was no dogs barking, it was just quietness. Even in the beginning, God was showing me his stillness and his peace. He's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty awesome. Yeah. If I'd have to say one thing that I remember about that is that evening, is that stillness. And I remember asking that question, not on some deep theological basis. I asked that question as just a 13-year-old. Hey, are you there? And are you real? And if you're real, can you show me yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And not really even knowing what to expect when I asked that question.
Did that question come up over the next 50 years? Like, I mean, you said, you know, you went on and it was a kind of a normal teenager life. And then you got married and you had kids. And like, how did that question and how did that stillness appear or reappear over the course of your teen and adult life?
Many times, because there'd be many times when I would remember asking that question, and many times that I would just kind of smile and say, you've been doing that, haven't you, Lord? You heard that prayer and you've been revealing yourself to me. I can't even count how many times that question has reappeared in my head. The older I have gotten and the longer I've walked with the Lord, the more that question has reappeared in a deeper way, like it appeared this year of 50 years ago, I came into your life, Scott. There's been something about this year that the Lord has shown me that I've been walking with him for 50 years, and I didn't realize that. And there's been something about this year that he has been showing himself to me again in so many deeper ways of, and when I say deep, what's so funny about God is that the deeper you go with him, the more simplistic things get.
Yeah. Would you like to share your nickname that you have for God?
Jehovah Sneaky?
Yeah.
I still call him that?
Why do you call God Jehovah Sneaky?
Because you never know what he's up to. And you're trying to figure something out. You're working through things. And then all of a sudden, bam, it works out. Or there's the answer. Or something happens and you're like, oh, wow. Okay. Jehovah Sneaky's at it again.
Yeah.
I have learned that I don't need to know everything. I just, like I said a while ago, listen, obey, follow, and rest. Rest knowing he's got it all under control. You know, there's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I actually say this might even actually be my second favorite story in the Bible. is Jesus going across the lake, and he's in the bottom of the boat, and he's asleep. The waves are crashing out on the thing. The boys are just terrified. They're thinking they're going to die. They're running around. I picture them running around like frantic and chaotic. They're going to die, and some of them may be getting frustrated because of how can this be happening? And Jesus is down there asleep. I don't know. Jesus comes out, speaks to the waves, speaks to them, and then I picture him going back down and going back to sleep. The reason that's my favorite story, or my second favorite story, is because why could Jesus sleep in the midst of that storm? You ever thought about that? Why could Jesus sleep? Jesus could sleep because he said, I don't do anything unless my dad tells me to do it. His dad told him he needed to go across the lake. So he knew his dad was going to get him across the lake. If the ship went under, he'd just hang on to a piece of wood or just walk on the water. But he knew he was going to get to the other side of the boat, the other side of the lake. So he could go to sleep, not caring about the winds, the waves, the troubles of life. He just went to sleep. And I've come to realize that's what life is all about with walking with Jesus. Listen, obey, follow, rest.
When did we meet?
We met about a month and a half, I believe, 2 months after my first wife passed away. I was attending a comedian concert at
Michael Jr.
Yes. And Kim Hammons got up and was talking about Jobs for Life. At the end of her little talk of Jobs for Life, I was like, because I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat listening to her. I got home that night, and the next morning, I just felt God say, I want you to make yourself available to her and Jobs for Life. I'm like, okay. So I sent an email to Kim. Don't even know how I had her email address, but I sent an email to her, and I guess apparently she was sitting right in front of her computer when I sent that, because like 2 seconds later, the phone rings. She introduces herself to me, and I said, Kim, I don't know anything about Jobs for Life. Don't know what it entails, but I was wondering if you need any volunteers, I'd be happy to volunteer. Little did I know that that's pretty much all, everything you need is volunteers. So I showed up and volunteered, and I met you at one of those sessions. And then one thing led to another. Jehovah Sneaky had a plan there. Mm-hmm. And then I began working here at Schweitzer, ran Jobs for Life for 7 years. And you and I got to know each other very well.
We did. You ran Jobs for Life, and just, you took it from Kim, and Kim got it up and going, and it was, you took it and just ran with it and put it in great hands, and, a lot of fun. And some of the folks, a lot of folks listening will not know what Jobs for Life is, but why don't you describe what Jobs for Life is?
Jobs for Life is a program or ministry. I don't like the word program.
Okay.
Jobs for Life is a ministry that helps folks in three levels. Yes, Jobs for Life helps them find a job, but that's actually the least of the things that we do or did, or what I did. Jobs for Life, still going. Jobs for Life took somebody who had pretty much lost their sense of self-worth, self-love, feeling like there was nothing that they could give to anybody. A lot of those folks was from prison. A lot of those folks had come from addiction. A lot of stay-at-home moms who had been a mom all their life. Now the kids are grown and they want to get back to work, but they're like, I've got nothing to offer. And it's like, oh, you've got so much to offer. But it was taking those folks and sitting with them and sharing with them how much God loves them. They came from backgrounds that, yes, they had every right to say they had nothing to give, and they had every right to say they were worthless people if they wanted to. But God's word says something different. God's word says they have value, they have purpose, they have life, they have things to give. They just need somebody to come along and say, man, you're worthwhile. You're worth the effort. Let me show you what Jesus says about you. So we would do that. You know, it's a beautiful thing to take somebody who almost hates themselves, show them how much Jesus loves them. That, my friend, is walking with Jesus. Just showing somebody love. I was actually out in my spot on the patio this morning. And I said, okay, God, where are we going to go this morning? And there I was in 1 Corinthians 13 again. I'm like, oh, we're going to go here again, God. And he showed me in, I think it's verse 8, and the words was, love never ends. God's love never ends. And this morning, I'm digressing. I'll get back to that in just a minute. But this morning, what the Lord showed me was love never ends. And yeah, that means his love towards me never ends. And nothing I can do can separate me and all of that. But yet, it also means that my showing love towards others should never end. Never. No matter what they do, what they say, what they've done, just show them love. Man, when you show somebody the love of Jesus, that'll change their life. Sorry, didn't mean to digress there. But once we would take folks from that, then we would also show them what it means to be a good employee. What does God's word say about being a good employee? God's word has a lot to say about what it means to be a good employee. And so we would teach them that. So we would teach them God's word the whole time while we're instilling God's love into them. And then the third purpose, of course, is try to help them find a job. But you know, that was not always the win. There were some days when you could just take somebody, some sessions, we could take somebody, and the win was just bringing them from a point of brokenness to the point that they could look you in the eye and say, hi, my name is. And they could look you in the eye the whole time.
You want to talk about that? You want to describe that? Because that's, as you're doing that, I'm replaying a tape in my head that I've heard you talk about several times, about a class that you had. It was a pretty special class. And
yeah, it was. It was one of those strange sessions of Jobs for Life. We had predominantly female students and predominantly male champions, because, you know, the champions were volunteers, so you take what you got. And so we were practicing one night doing our 60-second commercial, and that night our teacher for that session was David Freeman, and David and I was working with the students to get them to be able to say their 60-second commercial while looking somebody in the eye and saying it confidently. And we noticed we were having a problem, because what we were trying to do was have them stand in front of their champion and say that. And we couldn't do it. And so we asked them, okay, let's just practice on making eye contact. Stand there for 60 seconds. For 60 seconds, stand there and make eye contact with your champion. We noticed that they couldn't do it. So then we said, okay, let's not worry about 60 seconds. Let's do it 30 seconds. They couldn't do that. okay, let's go 15 seconds. They couldn't do that. And we were like, okay, ladies, what's going on? Why can you not look somebody in the eye? What's happening here? And this one student turned around and said, really? You really want to know the answer to that question? I'm like, yeah, we really do. No, I'm. Do you really want to know the answer to that question? And I could tell this is going to go somewhere that's probably going to be uncomfortable. Yeah, tell us the answer. She said, I know that this man standing across from me is a loving, God-fearing man. But the whole time I'm looking in his eyes, the only thing I'm thinking of is, when's it going to hit me? When's it going to attack me? When's it going to strike me? What does he want from me? The rest of that class went very differently. David and I both broke. And the rest of that class was spent inviting Holy Spirit to come in and heal those women's hearts. Is that the story you were asking? Okay. That night, I again saw what the love of Jesus is powerful enough to do. It could break that off of people. We're going kind of deep here, aren't we, buddy?
You jumped in first.
True. True.
Yeah. How many graduates out of 7 years? Ooh. How many people did you see?
How many people did we see? Oh, my goodness. Well, I used to have those numbers right on the top of my head, but now since I've been retired, they've kind of left. Basically, I oversaw 17 sessions with an average of about 5 to 6 people a session. So I want to say, I don't know, but we had 70 some odd students who graduated. I do remember that number, 74, if I remember correctly, out of anywhere from 95 to 100, 110 yeah. students. I have lost track of some of those students. Some of those students I still talk to on almost a weekly basis. Again, I'll go back to what I keep going back to. God's got a theme here tonight, today. The love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The love of Jesus will change life. There's a lot of man-made programs. That's why I hate the word program. Mm. It's a lot of man-made programs. There's a lot of things that we try to do to change people. But it's the love of Jesus.
How did Jesus work Jobs for Life into your life in the year when you were losing so much?
Well, like I said, I came to hear, a friend of mine literally almost drugged me to that concert. I did not want to go. I was deep in the morning, and I didn't want to go listen to any comedian. But a friend of mine totally insisted and then put the guilt trip on me that he bought 2 tickets. Didn't want this one ticket. I'm like, okay, I'll go, fine. Love the concert, Michael Jr., fantastic comedian. But that night, that was a turning point, because I started volunteering here, and later on led to a job of doing Jobs for Life. And you know, when you're trying to find the right words, when you're dwelling around in the Word of God, it's going to change your life. Mm. Whether you're doing it to change you or not, it's going to change your life. And so I was doing Jobs for Life. Like I said, at that time, I'd been walking with the Lord for a long time. But after my first wife died, yeah, that's when I got to know Jesus and not just know about him. And Jobs for Life was part of that because I was busy. You know, I hadn't thought about a lot of this until you're bringing it up.
Sorry.
I was busy. No, it's fine. I was busy imparting Jesus into others. And I can look back and see that while I was imparting it, him into others, he was imparting himself into me. Because I couldn't have given away anything that he, if I didn't have it. He was giving it to me and I was giving it out. And as I gave it out, he gave me more. And I'd give it out, he'd give me more. Not patting myself on the back. It's all he's looking for is a yes. Mm-hmm. He's just looking for somebody to say, yeah, I'll do that, God. I have no earthly clue what that is, but I'll do it.
You became known as someone who loved to show videos in Jobs for Life classes. And in fact, one of your classes counted how many videos you showed over the course of 16 sessions. I think it came out to be somewhere around 168 or
167 videos.
Yeah.
On an average class session.
Yeah, pretty wild. I think there was one that you liked to show a lot or several times.
Yes. Jump by Van Halen. In fact, I'll never forget the first time that I played the Jump video from Van Halen during a JFL graduation. I had one person walk up to me and say, you know, didn't think I would ever live to see the day when someone would play a Van Halen song inside the sanctuary of a Methodist church. And I remember just looking at that person and smiling, and we laughed, and he said, only you could get away with that. I did.
Many times.
Many times. And that came to be, as I was here doing Jobs for Life, that came to be the song I was known for around here.
Yeah. What did that mean to you? How did that make such an impact on your life? How did Van Halen, in some ways, personify both the call and the joy of God that was present within you?
It was the video. I was just scrolling through, watching YouTube videos, trying to find a song for that night's session at Jobs Life. It was the first one I've done. And that video showed numerous clips of people jumping off of cliffs into the water. And that spoke to me. That's exactly what we're asking people to do. Take a chance. Jump off a cliff. Take a chance. When Jesus invites us to invite him into our lives, that's exactly what he's asking. Man, take a chance on me. Take a chance on me. Jason, take a chance on me. Scott, take a chance on me. Let's jump off this cliff together and see where it goes. That water may be 6 inches deep. It may be 60 feet deep. You don't know. But I do. This is what I hear from God is, you don't know what that water holds, but I do. Do you trust me enough to take my hand and jump? And so that just kind of became my anthem.
It did. Made its mark on me and getting to be in touch with you. Well, we need to wrap up with a few lighter notes, if you will.
Sure.
Okay. So what's one of the things you do for fun?
Well, I play video games, I play Dungeons and Dragons, and I meet with guys and just walk with them. I don't want to say I meet with people and do a mentor-mentee relationship because I don't like that phraseology. I meet with guys and I just walk with them, me, that person, and Jesus, and we just see where God takes us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do for fun. Oh, and drive fast.
You do drive fast. You have owned every American brand of truck in the past few years. What's your favorite and why?
Well, I would have to say that my favorite is the one I'm driving right now, a 2022 Chevy Silverado. And if truth be known, the reason, the why for that is the stereo system in it. It'll rock you out, man. Yeah, I'm 64, but I'm still never grow up, never grow old.
There you go. Your favorite football team?
Green Bay Packers, buddy, all the way.
How did a kid from Oklahoma become a Packers fan?
That's a funny story, too. When I was a young kid, it was the green and gold uniforms. I just liked the green and gold uniforms. I was a kid living in Oklahoma who doesn't have a football team. Closest one is the Dallas Cowboys. Man, I love the green and gold. So I just stuck with them. And now here I am, diehard Packers fan.
And diehard indeed.
Diehard indeed, yeah. Yes, sir.
And so the nickname I've given to you, which is kind of like a dig against your Packer fandom, is the Silver Lion, because you've got some great hair. And for a while, it grew long and like a lion's mane.
Yes. No longer, though. It's been cut off. But yeah. I have a feeling that it may reappear.
That's good, because the Lions are having a good season.
They are having. They're doing much better than the Packers are this year. Much better.
It's a good thing, finally. It's a
very good thing, yes.
And since you and Susan have been married, what's one of your favorite places to go and do together?
In the evening times, sitting on our sofa, usually both of us have an iPad in our hands and the TV's on, and just being together. We travel, we see family, we go do things, but just sitting there in the presence of my wife in the evening, not saying a word to her and her not saying anything to me, but knowing that this woman loves me deeply with all of her heart and I love her deeply with all of my heart, and just being with her. I know that's really boring, probably not the answer you were wanting, but that's my favorite thing to do with her, is just be with her. Kind of sounds like somebody else that I like to be with, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, the Lord has shown me a lot through that being with her of how to be with him. He showed me one day, I was talking to him outside about my quiet time. And according to you, Jesus, what should a quiet time look like? He said, well, let me tell you what I don't want it to look like. I'm like, okay, what's that? He says, you know, when you come home in the evenings, you and Susan sit in there in the living room and you watch TV and you're both on your iPads, are you talking a lot? Well, no, sometimes we have conversations, but most of the time we're just in each other's presence and we're good enough for that. And I was like, see where you're going here, Jehovah Sneaky. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah. He said, also, when you go in there and sit down with Susan, do you start bombarding her with questions? Would you do this? Would you do that? Would you do this? He said, she probably wouldn't like that. You know, I like to just be with you, Scott. Tell me your needs. Pray to me. But when we're sitting out on that back patio, you and me together, he said, I know your needs. I don't need you to tell me all that. I just want to be with you. Sorry, I diverged again. Man, everything in my life just comes back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I just can't help it.
One final question.
Okay.
What do you want your family, your kids and grandkids to say about you when this life, this race is done?
That brings me to the number one top Bible story for me. And it's only two sentences long. Enoch walked with the Lord, and then he was no more. When I pass away, the only thing I care about is that my family can look and say, he walked with God. I don't care about anything else. I just want somebody to be able to say, yeah, that guy walked with God. There's no other legacy I need to leave behind. that speaks for itself. Enoch, we know nothing about him. Nothing. Guy may have been a horrible father, terrible employee. We don't know anything about him. All we know is he walked with God. And God was so impressed with that, they put him in his book for all of ages. So that's what I want my family to say about me, is Dad walked with God.
Well, thank you, Scott Warren.
Thank you, Jason. I've enjoyed this time just sitting and talking with you.
I've enjoyed it too.
I told myself I wouldn't cry, but here I am. Appreciate you, my friend.
Appreciate you too, Scott.
I love you as a brother in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Love you too. High regard, folks. If you ever get a chance, I hope you get a chance to meet the Silver Lion, Scott Warren.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us, and a big thank you to Scott for sharing his story. In listening to Scott, I hope that you found yourself inspired, encouraged, and challenged so that you can, on the one hand, begin to behold the really cool people that are around you. And on the other hand, take those things of inspiration, encouragement, and challenge and see what God wants to stir up in your own life. The Really Cool People podcast is produced by Schweitzer Church, Springfield, Missouri. Taylor Likes is our executive producer and editor, and I'm your host, Jason Lyman. You can help us by liking, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Until next time, stay cool.